This is Stacey Marshall with Printwear Magazine.
Matt Vassallo with the RhinestoneWorld.com.
Richard Greaves with ScreenMaking.com.
Brian Walker with RTP Apparel.
This is Peter Walsh with M&R, and you're listening to the Two Regular Guys podcast.
Podcast
hosted by
Terry Combs.
And
Aaron Montgomery.
Keep on listening.
I don't know if these guys are that regular.
Welcome into the show, everybody. It is Friday, July 16th, 2021, and I am Eric Campbell sitting in for Terry Combs, and you can find me at ericcampbell.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me over at oursuccessgroup.com. Today, Eric and I will be talking to Andrea Bomarito of ZSK. Been on the show several times. We love having Andrea on, good friend. And we're going to discuss her role in developing and testing processes for specialty embroidery. We know that she gets deep into the testing and she lives it. She's an embroidery nerd. So I can't wait to talk a little more embroidery. I'm becoming an embroidery nerd too. I just hanging out with the right people here. And in fact, next week I get to actually embroider for the first time myself. So nice. I'm looking forward to it. And, Eric and Andrea will probably geek out. It'll all go over my head and we'll have a blast. So how about that?
Works for me. I can't wait, because honestly, of the people in the industry I've been able to geek out with and talk about embroidery, like Andrea's like the OG. She and I have been able to talk about this stuff forever, and it's always been great because we do get a little deep into the stacks and working on stuff and technical stuff, and it's always been fun. So I'm glad to have her on.
That's awesome. Cool.
Been too long.
Yeah, definitely. This will be a blast. So looking forward to that. We'll get right to that here, but let's check in and say good morning to some folks here. First, Eric, we've got Cindy checking in. Good morning, Cindy. Eric, Gusta is what I always say.
Yosta is closer.
Gusta?
But I'm still not there. Yosta.
Yosta.
Is closer, right. But I'm still not there.
He still talks to me.
Recording.
Yeah, he still talks to me. Yep. He even... he's even offered to pick me up from the airport if I ever come visit. So, we're still friends. It's good. Kathleen, thank you for being here. Todd, yes. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Todd.
David Gross, good morning, sir. Thanks for checking in.
Absolutely.
Here to check out some embroidery talk. I like it. Tom Farr from across the pond, right?
Tom Farr is from Buzzards Bay Embroidery.
That's right. I'm thinking of Frank.
Tom Farr, Buzzards Bay does some really cool stuff. But yeah,
apologize, Tom.
Thinking
my
of
bad.
Frank.
I'm thinking Frank of Frank. Sorry, I jumped Farr. Ahead there. Yeah, good thing you're here to keep me on track. If Terry was here, I'd just be looking like a fool all morning.
It's only me who tends to be like, I do remember people more than I probably should sometimes. Not everybody. I'm going to say, all you guys who come in with business names, I'm sorry. Sometimes you come in with a business name and I'm just like, Friendly Stitches, that's you. I'm sorry. Please tell me who you are. I can't remember everybody.
All right. Well, good morning, Michelle. And yes. Everybody checking in. So excited to chat with everybody. Excited to have you guys, ask your questions. Have you guys put in your comments? And we always love interacting with the regulators here. So we really would love to continue that going forward. So let's talk a little news here real quick, though, Eric,
sure.
If that works for you.
Absolutely. We got stuff to talk about this time.
Yeah. In fact, Todd says you even learned something about embroidery at DAX. Can't wait to see what you learn at the applique getaway.
I think mostly Todd's just giving me trouble because I stayed in our success group booth and had all of my embroidery people show it up. I had a lot of my class people show up, and luckily a lot of them also walked away and wanted to know more about OSG.
That's right.
But sincerely, there was a lot of embroidery chatter going on.
There was. You and Brian stood back there for a good solid... I don't know, at least half hour.
I took up some space.
No, that was awesome. You guys were into it, man. I was like, holy cow, their brains are both going to go.
You got to talk shop, man.
Yeah, that's right. So DAX update real quick. We all got back. Eric was there. We'd loved having Eric in the booth with us and hanging out when he wasn't teaching and doing all that and talking to the embroidery peeps out there. So great show as far as attendees went. The attendees were there. I posted a picture over on the our success group page of the line to get in the first day. It was backed up out the door. People waiting to get in at 10 a.m. and they all rushed in and they all went and said, okay, where is everybody? And, I actually had some questions about that. I'm like, why, where are all the exhibitors? Right. Mm-hmm. And, after started talking to some people and talked to Scott Ritter from Dax, you know, the challenges of the supply situation are real. So if you've got nothing to sell, it's a little tough to go to a show. And then the other challenge is some of the companies were still under travel ban. So, I get it, but there are also some other companies that were noticeably missing that didn't make a whole lot of sense. There was, one of the challenges that I was a little concerned about was the fact that there was zero sublimation people there.
Yeah, this is true.
No sublimation people at all. So the sublimation education that people were getting on the floor was a craft company showing people how to use a Cricut press with Artistry markers.
Yeah, I mean,
so if that's somebody's first exposure to sublimation, that might be a little bit of a challenge to overcome down the road.
Well, I'll say this: there's nothing wrong with the Artistry markers. We had the people.
It's awesome for what they are.
Cool. They're cool products. But yeah, I certainly think there were opportunities missed on the floor. I can't blame anybody for not coming because we know the supply chain stuff. We were talking before the show about the funny jokes about like Richardson Cavs and people are trying to go jump through hoops and do backroom deals to find the Cavs they need. We know that there's been supply chain issues all through this year. We knew they were going to continue. But at the same time, there was certainly some people who were missed. And if nothing else, let's say it in the nicest way possible. We missed everybody. There were people who we wanted to see at the show that were certainly missed and who we would love to have for the
year. Yeah. And you're exactly right, Eric. That's definitely my point. It's not to call anybody out. It's not to make anybody feel bad for not being there. It's to say, hey, you know what? There are some opportunities here. Don't sleep on this. And like you said, we'd love to see you. We'd love to hang out and catch up. It's been too long. I didn't realize how much I knew I missed it, but at what level? I mean, just that opportunity, like you said, to get there and sit and talk and have that conversation that you got to have with Brian. I get to have a nice long conversation with Brian too. And others from our success group that came by and, just getting pictures, getting to hang out face to face with Todd. You know, we started a company together and we hardly ever see each other. So, those kinds of opportunities were cool. So, so that's kind of the DAX update. Attendees were great. The people that were there were doing great. I saw a lot of equipment leaving the show floor out the front. Saw a couple F2100 Epson DTG machines walk out the front door with folks, hopefully paid for, and lots of other stuff. I know the folks over there at Magic Touch. I saw Mr. Joseph Eric walking by and loading somebody up with stuff. So. People are ready, right? I think the common theme I heard from I can't think of anybody that I heard there that was saying that business wasn't picking up. I think everybody I talked to, their business was picking up. It may not be exactly where they want it yet, but it was picking up. So I think that bodes well. I think the trends are heading in the right direction, and I'm feeling really optimistic about how things will continue to evolve the rest of this year and into next year.
Don't get me wrong. There are plenty of stories from people saying we had to take loans. We had to do, there are people who had been through some stuff. They've been through this last year and there's no lying that there was tough stuff going on, but it seemed like the people who buckled down, who turned into finding new avenues were there and were trying to get back out. Like even if they were coming with the hardship under their belts, everybody who we talked to seemed to also have concepts where they were headed. Things were picking back up and they kind of gritted their teeth and hung in there as best they could. And now they're starting to expand. Now they're starting to get out there. And it was surprising to see how much was kind of growth mindset. So people were really in the mindset that this can change if we buckle down. So it was cool.
Yep. Yeah, it was good. So let's see here. Todd says, even if you don't have anything to sell, your customers want to see you.
This is true.
Yeah. There is something to be said about this face-to-face relationship building. I think, lots of people have gotten really good at doing things like this and Zoom, there's a new podcast every day, right? Or whatever. and that's totally cool. The more information we can share, the better we can communicate together in all sorts of forms and fashions. People got to see things that they'd never seen before because maybe they weren't able to get out to a in-person show. But I think our industry is a touch and feel industry on all sides of things, right? We need to see the equipment in action. We need to touch and feel the materials. We need to understand the differences in things that you just can't get across on video all the time. And I feel like we have an awesome little community too. I call it a little community, but our industries are actually rather big, but it has this small town feel to it, right? Where everybody knows everybody, competitors or not, everybody gets along really well. And so coming back to that was really cool. So,
No, totally agree. I mean, I think that there's a place for all of it. I love that we have more expanded abilities online. I think, like you said, underserved communities that are having a hard time getting to shows can actually get to all this online education we're doing. But I love that there's the hybrid model, because there's still something about the, you know, on-scene communication that happens. People ask questions, people talk about different things, and it's like my wife gives me trouble about how many samples I bring to the show. I always tease everybody because I'm hauling around 3 bags of embroidery samples. I'm saying, when I bring samples, that's what opens up the conversations. And sometimes it's literally just looking through a pile of different embroideries and samples and techniques that's going to get someone to even spark on the question that they didn't know they had yet.
Yeah.
You know, it so some of that stuff happens live in a way that's hard to do online. Sure. So I think there's a place for all of it. I'd love to see all of it continue. And I love the new hybrid models.
Yeah.
So but it was great to be at DAX.
Totally. One more quick comment on that, sure, Eric, sure. And then I'll let you jump in with your news story finally here. Mary said, I really wanted to come to DAX KC, but when I looked at the exhibit list, I had to opt out. Yeah, that, you know, I get it. I know that that's a tough decision to make. If you were asking me for advice, which I know you're not, but this is what I do. I just give it anyhow. I would show up anyways and just see who else you might be able to meet. Maybe it's not the exact person on your list, but there was some new and interesting stuff, you know, and I think there was plenty of conversations to be had, maybe some people that you wouldn't have thought of that were doing different things. And so I get it. I totally get it. So it's not me saying, you know, bad decision, Mary. It's just me saying, hey, if it was me, I'd just still show up just to check it out. Maybe it's just an in and out one day at that point, because there was two aisles, you know, you get through it. But but the opportunity to talk to people and just kind of get new information in exchange. Brian says talking shop with people was the best. So
absolutely. And like I said, Brian was like superstar chat. That was awesome. So we got to really get into it.
And Mary says 2022. Absolutely, Mary. We will see you there.
For sure.
I'm actually looking forward to meeting you there at 2022 DAX Kansas City.
And honestly, I think this is just the beginning. People were dipping their toe in the water, and we're going to see more.
Yep, absolutely. Totally agree. All right, enough of that. Great. Sorry.
That's okay. I think everybody wanted to talk about this. I mean, every time we've talked to somebody from the industry since we've been back who hasn't gotten the shows yet, the first question is always, how did the show go?
Yep.
So I think everybody wants to hear this stuff. And as far as my news story, all I wanted to point out, because there was a bunch of great news stories out there from, I mean, I saw some stuff from Graphics Pro. I saw, you know, Impressions. Everybody's got all these news stories. Rather than cover individual stories, all I want to say is that I was heartened to see that the stories weren't just, you know, the supply chain issues. Are they there and are those stories prevalent? Absolutely. But we were also seeing new hires where people were expanding into new sections of the industry. We were seeing multiple companies bringing in people who are specific to kind of certain use cases for their product that they might not have been looking toward. There were new partnerships going on, and seeing that in the news right now was just something I had to say I'm happy to see. Because honestly, we've seen all of the shutting down and the dealing with various problems with supply and the dealing with that stuff. And that's still going to happen. But it was cool to see that there was also people saying, all right, what are we going to do going forward? What can we do that's new? Elevating people into new positions, and just seeing that in the news just made me happy. So are there price hikes coming? Yes, those are in the news too. Are there issues with supply? Absolutely, those are there. But I'm also seeing people who are looking toward these new avenues of kind of expansion, and it looks like there's some real movement going underway. So I'm pretty happy to see that. So like I said, I just want to say I commend all you who are in that growth mindset, and I think people here are in that mindset. If you believe that you are going to grow through your own work and efforts, then I think you are in the best position you can be. I mean, slings and arrows of fate are going to happen, but if you're in there saying I'm there to be in the arena and do the thing, then you're already ahead of the game compared to someone who's waiting for those things to knock them out. So I love to see that the businesses are in that space right now and are looking to grow.
And Eric, like you're talking about there, you know, yes, there are going to be the challenges are real, right?
Absolutely.
Andrea is going to be with us in just a second. And I know that, you know, they've got the same challenges, right? We've all got these challenges of finding the stuff that we need.
Sure.
Trying to find some tank tops just for a friend, you know, I wasn't really trying to make this big sale. And, you know, I couldn't even find a freaking tank top in teal anywhere for somebody, you know. It was just like, whoa, what's going on here? But here's the deal. Yeah. That also breeds opportunity. This is
absolutely,
we are a creative industry. It's time to get creative, folks. We need to really push ourselves to be creative. We need to find new solutions. Everybody needs to kind of get focused on what it is that they can do for their customers, how you solve that problem for your customers. And, you know, like Eric said, yeah, price hikes are happening. You know, there was several news items. Yeah. Heck, the cost of getting my house sprayed for bugs just went up for the first time in 7 years. You know, this is the reality of it. So we all have to be aware of that. But as long as we get creative and, like Eric said, have that mindset of, hey, we're in the arena, we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Keep that mindset, you're going to do it. So I love it. Yeah. I love it, Eric. Yeah. That's a great share.
Well, hey, there's no better time for that design thinking where we're saying, okay, you don't say no, you say not the original vision you came with, but here's an option. Here's something coming in.
Yeah. So, yeah. But real quick, Eric, Kathleen just popped a question in there that I'm not sure I have a great answer for, but so she asked, any sense as to how long the supply challenges will go on. Yeah. I don't have a great sense of it specifically because the challenges are kind of far reaching and we're actually probably dealing with challenges that originated quite a while ago. And part of it was, you know, there was a, you know, I think there was still way too much sitting on hands happening late into this, which probably started some of the challenges that happened. I'm not here to judge or say anything, you know, negatively. I totally understand all of that. You know, I can't say that I always was pushing forward as hard as I could the whole time. There were nervous moments. And so I think we're probably going to see it for a little bit longer, but also what I've noticed is the situation kind of feels grim. Mm-hmm. But then if you just kind of dive into the problem and then all of a sudden, you know, it kind of loosens up without you really noticing. Mm-hmm. So, I guess that's not a great answer to your question, but I think that, it probably will be here for a bit and, you know, we're going to get through. We'll see. It could make a really interesting fourth quarter for sure. I think as far out as you can plan, the better off you're going to be. So there you go.
Have options in your head. Cause I mean, we're still seeing people dealing with issues at the docks and, you know, clogging at the ports. That's still happening. You're still loosening up because of we had that literal clog in the canal that caused us to have all this stuff behind. And I know that stuff still hasn't unwound. We're still, you know, it can be months of stuff going on like that. So I think that's still very possible. I would definitely be there with your creative options and look for sources. But I with Cindy, I understand how she feels. I just want to take a photo of my vendor's inventory list that offer all the 112.0s, all colors. My customers don't believe me. Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. I understand. For sure, it's hard, especially if you're dealing with, I know I did e-commerce. E-commerce, sometimes people expect that same staple good to be there all the time. It's a good time to look at your product lines and see what's available and start coming up with solutions. Yeah. Look at those staples that you always use and say, what would I do? Because honestly, we used to do that when we were leading into stuff. Before there were stock issues, we would have backups because we knew this was the case. If we had a style that we used all the time, we always knew what the next style down the road would be to try and get somebody serviced. And I think it's, if you haven't been doing that with your product line, it's a good time to do it for sure. And like I said, Brian's right. This is what I keep hearing too. Someone told me a vendor had 200 containers sitting on ships in the LA Bay. That's what I hear too, that containers are on ships and it's taking a long time to get them unloaded and processed. So that's probably gonna continue for a while. But yeah, if there is any better, there's no better time than now to look at what your stock looks like and what you're using for sure.
Yeah, totally. All right. Real quick, David asked, how's the Graphics Pro show? So I've not personally been to one, but Clay from Corel Trainer has been to a couple. In fact, I think he's on his way to New Jersey right now for the Meadowlands show. And he said it's been great. Terry walked the Irving show early on there. And he said it was fantastic as far as, you know, people getting back and that same kind of feel, right? You know, there's obviously some trepidation and get all that. But I also have this sense that people are just ready to get back. So for sure. Hoping that's not a bad thing ultimately, but you know, Go with what you feel and go with what you feel comfortable with. And, but again, the feedback that we got on the Graphics Pro shows, David, was that, they were very well attended also. So, there we go.
No, people want it. I'll say this much. If there's any good thing to come out of this, that people want it, people want to go.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. Let's definitely keep our eyes on the prize, keep our eyes on the future, on the horizon.
There we go. And
be the best we can be to be positioned for when things loosen up.
Yep.
I think that's how to do it.
Totally. All right, well, Eric, we really need to get to what we really were here for.
Of course.
The real star of the show is waiting in the wings. We need to
get to her. Andrea is here. Come on.
She is here waiting patiently, going, all right, are these guys ever going to shut up? But we do have to have a dad joke. I mean, you cannot have a two regular guys nowadays without a dad joke. I don't think it's possible.
I
mean, so
I don't even remember how it started, but now I just don't know what I would do. All right. So what's the dad joke, sir?
All right. You ready here? Okay.
I'm ready.
This one's kind of flows quickly. So you have to play along here. A guy threw milk at me, Eric. How dare he?
How dare he? I wasn't ready.
I thought I was ready, but
can you really be ready for?
No, like, you can't. You can't be ready for something that bad. Now, here's the deal on that one. There's a equipment supply shop just up the street from us here. They rent out equipment, kind of stuff, and their marquee sign, except for when they're hiring, their marquee sign always has a dad joke on it. So that came from that marquee sign. I'll take a picture of it later.
So that's extra impressions for your advertising dollar, everybody.
Yeah, there you go. There
dad jokes serving the community.
Yeah, marketing. Yeah. All right. Real quick, Wade did confirm that he was there at GPX yesterday, and it was smaller than usual, but great being out shows again. So there we go.
Very cool.
Good feedback. Very thanks, cool. Wade. All right, Eric, keep us moving here.
All right. So before we dive in, thanks to everyone who's checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. We are always looking for new guests. So if you or anyone you know would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2 regular guys with your show ideas. If you're listening to the podcast version of our show, we would appreciate you sharing the Two Regular Guys with your industry friends right now so that they can become regulators too. We would appreciate you giving us a review at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, wherever you do your podcast listening. If you're watching us live right now, please join in with comments and questions. And everybody who is here doing this live commenting, questioning, Q&A, thank you for being here. And by all means, please do share it. We would love to have more of these industry brains together in the Brain Trust. So thank you.
Yep, there we go. Awesome. And Dale almost made me spit out my tea as to follow up to my really bad dad joke. Dale said, Eric, you weren't in the mood.
Yeah, you wonder why I coughed, because I did the classic rookie mistake, which is to look over at the comments while I'm supposed to be doing a read. And of course, that was the cough. That was me trying not to laugh out loud. Thank you, Dale, for
yes, that was fantastic.
For Dale. Getting a dairy-themed joke in to make me spit in the middle of the take. So yeah,
there we go. All right. Well, let's do this, Eric. We need to get Andrea in here. So let's get her on, bring her in here. And fans of the Two Regular Guys know that Andrea is our original embroidery expert and a great friend of the show, great friend in general. But for those of you that don't know Andrea as well as we do, Andrea, start us off by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do. And we're just going to make you dive right in here, ma'am.
All right. So first of all, I have to ask you this. Did you hear about the circus fire?
No, I did not.
It was intense.
Okay, that was better than yours.
Moms with dad jokes. I like it. That could be a podcast right there.
Mom jokes be dad jokes.
My husband has a ton of them. And I
love them. Well, if we run low, we'll reach out.
So, I'm Andrea. And I, first of all, I have to say that I was very excited about the picture that you used for the, for promoting the podcast with me doing a selfie in front of the machine with a peace sign and pursy lips, because that's what our kids do. And I have a little funny story about that. Part of it is I'm third generation in our company of a family business that's solely in embroidery and sewing. And we were at a trade show. And during this trade show, it was Father's Day. And so I took this selfie picture in front of the machine with the peace sign and the pursy lips. And there was another vendor there that was showing phone cases being sublimated. And they were doing these demos. So I went over to this wonderful vendor, put it on a phone case, and gave it to my dad and said, Happy Father's Day. So So that is the funny story about that. But that kind of ties into, you know, who I am. I'm third generation in this business. I've been doing embroidery and sewing and decoration and other manner as well, you know, rhinestones, getting into DTG, things like that. I've been in it for about 20 years. If I had to best describe what I do, I am an application specialist. So I do help, you know, figure things out as far as how to do things, how to fix things, how to troubleshoot, and it's not just embroidering. You know, it's also in the process of the embroidering and the process of, you know, the garment to the end product, whether that's like how to get it through the machine in the most efficient way. And like, you know, even back end type of computer software programs and things like that, and how we can make things better. And, you know, part of it is I deal with everyone's crap. You know, it's like, I can't do this. How do I do this? And I love it. Like, that's it's my passion. I love doing that kind of stuff. So I kind of run our design studio, and in the studio, it's kind of like my lab. I definitely need a lab coat, a clipboard, and some goggles, just for fun. You know, you know, you gotta do that every once in a while.
Sure.
But I train on different software programs such as Wilcom, EPC, GIS, IDS, whatever I can get my hands on. I love learning. You know, I love learning, and I will tell you this, that I continue to learn, and I continue to reach out and talk. You know, Eric and I can sit there and have like an hour conversation and not once mention anything other than embroidery.
No way.
So, and it's like, and we can't get enough of it. It's like, okay, well, I got to go. Okay. Well, you hang up first.
I love it.
So, this is true. I mean, especially because like Andrea, like you're saying, you do everything through fulfillment, and I've been in the same boat you were, but yeah, in a small business is where I was doing it for the one business, mostly before I started doing consulting. We get into the weeds pretty easily, because like there is this world, and I love to see Andrea talking about it, because it's multimedia, it's applications and digitizing, which everybody wants to talk about that stuff. But then it's like garment sourcing, it's stabilizers, it's materials, it's machine settings, it's throughput, it's workflow. There's this entire chain of stuff that happens that has to, and we know this like intuitively in business, but I don't think people get that there's people on the other side who have to be providing these answers when someone asks. And I think you're doing a lot of that, more than I think they are.
There's a lot of things that people don't realize go on behind the scenes.
Sure.
And I think when they jump into it, they have to take a step back and look at the whole picture. And that's what I help do, is I help them look at the whole picture and how do we make things better? How do we achieve something? In addition, I have developed curriculum for training, for ZSK. Like, you know, I joke about it with my kids, that I'm a YouTube star, because they all want to be YouTube stars, you know, and they, you know, so basically I'm the YouTube star because nobody else wanted to be in the videos. But we came, you know, I developed a whole curriculum, you know, we continue to do things. We have workshops here, and we, you know, I teach sometimes at trade shows, and I do have to say I miss DAX. Yeah. But unfortunately, we are one of those people, excuse me, that are experiencing supply problems. And it's, you know, and I think part of it, and I'm going to kind of dive into this little, you know, part right now, but is that a lot of companies, industrial companies, have put away a lot of their large equipment for maintenance, closed it down. And I think for bringing that back in to, bringing it back into production or whatever it may be, like imagine these container ships, to put them away and then to bring them back out. That's a big feat right there. And then on top of it, to have the workers to do it.
Yeah.
So it's all, it's not just these little things, it's these big things too, that people are putting their machines out of commission during COVID because they didn't have it, that was the thing to do. So now we're feeling it, think about the lumber industry. I mean, that's like the Richardson hats of embroidery, and again, that's something that we've had to deal with. We've gotten through a lot of it. We've been lucky. And it's, it sucks. Let's just put it out there. It sucks. It sucks for everybody.
You guys are forward thinkers. And I think that probably is, like you said, you said you got lucky, but I think it probably has more to do with the fact that you guys are forward thinkers and probably have been working on this. I know you guys work hard through all of these things. So, Andrew, before we get into the actual stuff that we brought you on here to talk about, you said you loved answering the questions and solving problems. So I'm going to throw a curveball at you real quick, if you don't mind. Cindy early on asked a question, and so I want to put this out there for you. I'm going to post my question for Andrea. Since I'm listening and sewing, I sew caps on my ZSK. I have one problem, bill scuffing. What can I do? I've tried putting a piece of battening.
Batting.
So
behind the head of the ZSK, there's a bill protector, and it's like kind of a U-shape or C-shape metal piece. And what you can do is you can take tubing. I don't know what it's exactly called. But if you take this tube and kind of cut it down the middle, you can then put it over this. I'm sorry. I can't explain these things.
What's great about technology is that
a lot of times we do FaceTime, we do Zoom meetings, things like that. But if you take this tubing, and it's almost like air hose tubing, very small air hose tubing. And again, you slice it down the middle and you put it across this thing, it'll help with that scuffing on the bill.
Yep. So, there we go. Okay. Perfect. I like I said, I knew I was putting you on the spot. So just, it was more for my entertainment.
I think it was a test to be like, does she really know what she's talking about?
An embroidery expert?
Or is she faking it till she makes it?
Yeah. Ramona says, Andrea, the embroidery wizard. She's amazing. So
there you go. Ramona. Hi, Ramona.
And by the way, I will say, as for those YouTube videos, if you guys know, as you can see from like the big fake image behind me, I'm running ZSK and I've got a sprint that I'm running. It is always funny to have someone who you know personally in your ear while you're doing something. So sometimes I'm sitting there and it's Andrea teaching me how to use the unit while I'm trying to, I'm like, I forgot how to do something. Let me grab that YouTube video. It's like, it's a little weird.
I'm very humbled by the people that I talk to, because they're like, I love your videos. They're so helpful. And that's all I can, that's what makes me happy. And then like when I talk to people on the phone, they're like, I feel like I'm talking to a celebrity. And I just start laughing because again, I was the person that just could do it.
You were willing to be on camera.
Yeah. and I do love teaching. I really do love getting in front. And that's another thing that I do is like, at the trade shows, I will do seminars if I have the ability to, the time, and then I love writing too. I've written some articles for the different magazines, and if I have time, I will do it. And I love doing that kind of stuff. I love getting that education out there. I'm always learning. So I love, again, like talking with Eric, about just stuff. And there's been times where I'm like driving home and I'll call Eric and be like, hey, what do you think about this?
We have absolutely just done that. So also, if you guys know, if you ask Andrew a question about something, you may or may not get her answer and mine. You never know. I don't require her to tell you that, guys. But honestly, I've asked her stuff too. So you never know. You might be getting both our answers.
There you go. All right, Eric. Well, let's keep moving here, buddy.
Yeah, let's do it. But yeah, I do have to say, people know you from the booth. People certainly know you from the booth. I don't think they always know that so many of the awesome embroideries that are in the booth are yours, that you've done the digitizing work on those. Like the solar system piece, if you haven't seen the big solar system piece, that one is one of the big stunners that I love that you did.
I pulled it out for you.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I love that piece. Anyway, but when people come to you with like something out of the ordinary or a process that's bothering them, I mean, people know you're developing these processes with them. Like, what's your first step for crafting the solution? How do you get into these issues with folks when they come to you, like with this new kind of thing, with this new thing they need to be doing?
Yeah, it all depends on how I'm being approached, in a sense.
You know,
there's definitely different segments of, you know, what we need to troubleshoot, what we need to figure out, things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, like here, you know, the typical thing is quality, you know. Okay, I've got this hat that I'm stitching on. It's not stitching great. I'm getting this, I'm getting that, you know. So where do we go from here? So first of all, I take a complete step back. And I always tell people, I said, you're going to hate my answer because I'm always going to say, it depends. And it's true. I mean, it just really depends on, you know, you got to look at it from the whole perspective. You can't look at it from just machine. You can't look at it from just digitizing, just thread. I mean, we go in and we are, and I say we because it's not just me. You know, I am surrounded by a lot of great people on my team that help me as well. And we shoot ideas back and forth, you know, and that is one of the greatest things about what we do is that we've got people in our business that have been in the industry for a long, long time, and we're able to work with each other to help figure these things out. So let's say somebody comes to me about quality, you know, I have to look and assess the whole thing. I consult with them and say, okay, what are you using? How are you using it? Show me what you're doing. Because it could be something from hooping to, you know, to the thread that they're using, to the needle that they're using. I mean, we really look at it from a micro perspective. And we really look at it from, okay, send me the design. And a lot of times what I will do is, okay, send me the design. Let me look at it. Let me see if I see any discrepancies that would cause this issue. Let me see, you know, what could possibly be improved if something's going to be improved. Here's a prime example. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a customer come to me. They were stitching on a sublimated hat. Mm-hmm. With sublimated hats, they're very slippery. When you put the needle down into the fabric and it comes back up several times, you're going to get this white that's showing through because it's a sublimated fabric. Now, Aaron, I expect you to be like, yeah, I totally understand this. You know, just
that's exactly what I would have said right there.
See, I just keep on trying not to have my like speaking to the choir moment. I'm like, oh, how many times have I explained the halo around a sublimated, like an embroidery over sublimation? How many times have I explained this?
But because not only the sublimation, but the type of fabric that it was, there was a lot of slippage. And we don't realize this because we're hooping it right. We are putting the right backing on it. We're stitching with the right needle. But when looking at it, we tried three times in changing the digitizing to make that more balanced because there was lots of registration issues. So we had to, you know, we looked at the hooping, you know, you have to look at it. And I learned, you know, I use this term from you, Eric, you know, you have to take a holistic approach.
True.
You know, you have to go in and you have to take a step back. You know, those are very common things, you know, quality issues. You know, I have a jacket back, I have this, I have that. But what we do is take a step back and say, okay, is it doing it on just this needle or is it doing it on all needles? Is it, you know, this or this, you know, and we just try to hone in on what the main problem is. And I think that's one of the big differences that we bring to the table is that we're really trying to get to the bottom of it. You know, we're not just trying to mask it like, oh, it's a bad design. Oh, it's this or oh, it's that, you know, like we really try. And there are times where, yes, it is a bad design the machine's out of whack or something like that. So, you know, that's one thing, you know, if I also get approached by customers who are not necessarily our customers, but are customers of, you know, other dealers, and they have specific applications that they want to learn that might be kind of very specialty. Mm-hmm. Or let's say, for an example, this customer wants to network all their machines together, have it communicate with the server, use the special ZSK code, do the barcoding, things like that. Those are all things that we understand too, you know?
Yeah.
So I will get approached with somebody who says, hey, you know, I've got this machine. I know it's capable of all this stuff, but I haven't quite figured it out. You know, sure. What do I do? So again, I take that consultative approach and learn what they exactly want to do. Sure. And kind of make sure that we're getting all the right information from them and they're getting all the right information from me. So many times with orphan customers too, I have to figure out, you know, what the whole history is of the machine, you know, like what type of machine. And what's cool about ZSK is that ZSK is so, their line is so in depth as far as what they can do, you know, with different applications. And for example, like we have this thing called roll to basket and roll to roll, doing for like military name tapes. And it's a name queue that just continues feeding names and will actually roll the fabric for continuous embroidery without an operator. So there's like lots of cool little, and this is just one small example, but I have to I understand all these things. And I love to learn all this stuff because I get to then expand my knowledge base with customers and teach that kind of stuff. That's like, that's awesome. I just love that. Yeah. So, and then of course you have the specialty applications that people will come, hey, I'm looking for a machine that can do this. Yeah. For example, we had a customer who came, beautiful, accomplished artist, and he does these amazing oil paintings. Okay. And he wants to turn these oil paintings into embroidery. Mm-hmm. And stretch them on canvas, sell them, and you know, offer that as another part of his you know, offerings. So we had to consult with him. Okay, what's the field size you have to do? How many colors are you doing? You know, what is the application? And we have to kind of go through these little things. And now that's very broad. You know, I'm talking very broad things right now, but we have to go through and figure out, okay, what's going to be best suited for you. And that's where kind of we come in with our special, you know, our specialties and understanding, okay, they need this, 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 and this, what's going to be best. So this guy with the oil paintings, he wanted to turn his embroideries into, or his paintings into embroideries. We have a machine that is perfect for it. So we were able to actually sample one of them for him. You know, it had over a million stitches, you know, we had to frame it specifically. We had to use special materials. So it's really you know, not only understanding the machine, but understanding and having these relationships. I have awesome relationships with these other manufacturers of backing threads, you know, so on and so forth that I also get to experience. Sure. So, and not only that, but you know, I'm so lucky to be able to travel the world to see other types of decoration that we may not have here in the US. Yeah. And I get these ideas and I get to, you know, talk with these people. And it's just, I don't know, I could go on and on and on.
There you go.
I love that. But the thing I'd like to take away from that is something that I think we can also do as decorators ourselves is remember that a big part of this is, well, two things. Doing that initial interview with people, that's also what we have to do. We have to be very clear with what people's actual goals are, not just what they've asked us, but what the end result they want is. And then, and yes, of course, since you used my favorite word that I use over and over again, holistic, looking at things holistically, any one of these things being out of sync, if your design's not great, if your machine's not properly maintained, if you don't, and honestly, if you don't have your fulfillment right, if you don't have your finishing right, any of these things can cause you to get a result you don't like. And I, like I said, one of the reasons Andrea and I geek out so much is because we both have that kind of attitude where it's like, yeah, there's a micro scale happening and a macro scale, and you have to kind of know where all of these pieces are in play to get exactly what you want, especially when you're talking about doing that with efficiency on top of all this creative stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. And I mean, it takes it, there's the normal embroidery, mm-hmm. you know, and it doesn't, you know, and I'm not trying to put this down by any means, but
sure.
there is, you know, there's one skill set to put a USB in a machine, pull up the design and run the yep. design. Okay. Yep. We all started there, but what I've gotten to learn and become passionate about over the years is just all the little things that go, you know, with it. And, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why we do get a lot of people who come to us, and I have that kind of design studio, and I have the machines at my fingertips. Now it does take time, you know, don't for think sure. that, you know, this stuff, like, you know, doesn't take time. So just for an example,
20 years.
Yeah, that too.
So just as an example, here is something that we had awesome. As a question. Okay. Whoop. There we go. It's like a matador.
Yeah.
So, for the podcast listeners, this is an awesome banner that she's showing, a really big flag. Okay.
So front or back?
Right. Can you tell? So this is a completely two-sided embroidery, folks. So completely
back.
Two-sided on wow. a single piece. This is not two pieces put together.
One of the things we had to figure out, and it's not just matching bobbins. Yeah. It's how do we make the front look as good as, or the back look as good as the front?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're talking about a lot of different things that go into it, more than just, you know, matching bobbins. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one of the things that, actually, I have the machine in the back running right now. Mm-hmm. We have a machine, and again, the depth of the line, the ZSK line, allows us to get really into these kind of things. So that yeah. machine has like an automatic bobbin changer. Don't get too excited because it's only for flat machines, machines that can only do flat material. Yep. We don't have it yet for tubular items. But either way, we have... I have the ability to go and like try it out, you know. That's so
cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Totally so. Tubular, actually. Sorry. I couldn't resist. All right. Let's get a couple of regulators comments in here.
Sure.
Real quick, this one easy quick. Goose says, is ZSK an American brand? And I know that's not true. So where are they from?
So ZSK is manufactured in Germany. We are the main importer for ZSK. We do direct selling of the ZSK and support. So we are basically an agent for ZSK. And we
can you guys
really
service Sweden?
Service Sweden. Well, you'd have to call ZSK for that.
All right.
Yeah. Might be slightly out of Andrea's specific range, but
I wouldn't mind going.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
you can hire Andrea in to come consult, though. I know.
Right.
There sure you go. Like all right. Let's. Joanne's got a question here. Any tips and tricks for dealing with density issues? High quality designs are generally high density with beautiful details, but often too heavy for standard garments made from woven fabrics. So, Andrea, you want to try to tackle that? And then obviously, Eric, if you have some thoughts there as well, I'll stay out of this one.
Right. Let's see what I say, and then let's see what Eric says.
Okay.
Yeah. I bet together, like, we'll both have different ideas. That's one thing that I tell people is that you get 100 digitizers in a room to do one design, it's going to be digitized, created 100 different ways.
Absolutely.
So, first of all,
100 digitizers in a room, though?
I'm
sorry. Answer the question, Andrew. I'm sorry. I said I'd stay
probably,
out of it.
Probably. Probably. You know, right. With the dorks that I hang out with.
Yeah. That's true. All right. Go ahead.
So there's a couple of things. First of all, I would definitely look at the design. And if you can edit that design, obviously bringing out density, you could also, for example, this design that I've done, just the blue background itself is 150,000 stitches. I did certain things. I actually removed some density, added additional underlay to give it a better foundation, and extended the stitch length just a little bit. You do have to kind of look at the fabric that you're stitching on to see what it can handle, because even changing needles can also help. But probably the first thing that I would start with is looking at the design and how do we decrease that density and what kind of density settings do we need for that fabric? Every fabric is going to be different. That's one thing, you know, the fabrics that are less stable need more stability. So you may need more backing, you know, for something like that. So those are my quick, you know, insights on that.
All right, Eric,
I don't have to say hardly anything because that's what I would have done. Honestly, my first problem was, and this is absolutely not me calling out Joanne, but saying you're like, high quality designs are generally high density. I'd be like, high quality designs are generally a balanced density because part of the quality is someone managing that density well. And Andrea absolutely has its structural underlay that holds up the top stitching, longer stitching, especially in fills. Because a lot of people will go in and do these like 2.5 millimeter, 3 millimeter fills. My fills are always 4 or sometimes 4+ millimeters length in those stitches. Mm-hmm. Because a lighter fill that has a nicer hand is going to have less stitch penetration points. Remember, we're leaving wedges of thread through that material. That's what's causing all that rippling and stuff, is also the three-dimensional density, the thread going through the material. So yeah, unfortunately, this is one of those ones where sometimes if you're not digitizing, that design can be the culprit on this stuff with really high density, or if they're putting a bunch of details on top of something that's existing until the point that you have, you know, thread breaks and buckling and stuff.
There you go.
Though, right. I will say,
I love hanging out with smart people. I like
cheap
it.
Trick, super cheap trick. If you can, if you have the ability to resize your design and that the exact size isn't that critical, and this is, I've only done this when I can do it. If you resize a design, you make it bigger without letting it do any sort of stitch processing, you of course lower the density by expanding the space between stitches. Mm-hmm. So you can cheap out and say, all right, instead of redigitizing this thing, if I'm allowed to have 10% more size, scale everything up without processing, and you suddenly have less density because there's literally more room.
But here's another thing.
Correct.
Oh boy, more tips.
So
awesome.
If you, let's say you have a design that you resize without the stitch processing, resize it without the stitch processing, and then bring it down with the stitch processing.
Mm.
Wow. See,
depends on your software on that one. Because you have to have software that does do the processing. Some don't, right. And also some do be careful with things like texture and the way it puts those stitch blocks back together when you do processing.
Right.
It's not all software is equal when it comes to processing densities, because it has to guess what kind of stitch types are there and replot them.
Yeah.
Quality may or may not vary. Especially if you're doing a lot of handwork.
Yeah.
Because handwork and little engraving style lines will not process. They'll just be there. Software can't change the lines. Straight stitch lines and engraving style detail will not change.
Gotcha. Usually.
All right. So yeah, see, this is what Andrew and I do for fun. I don't know.
I know. I'm trying to keep you guys on track here because I know there's some other stuff we want to get to.
I know we're already getting into like bonus time.
We haven't got to it. All right. Well, Eric, what's next? What I know that there was some specific stuff that we wanted to talk about with Andrea here. So what else do we need to cover here next?
Do a couple of them. I think we've covered a lot of the questions. You guys know that we work from an outline. It's not a secret that we have it there, but we've covered some of the answers to the questions we had. But let me go ahead and just a couple things I wanted to say. Like when you're dealing with both specialty treatments and the problems that people are having, what do you think is the biggest stumbling block? What's the chief problem people have first and foremost that they come to you with?
Frustration. I'm not kidding. You know, they get to a point and they're like, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So that's when we kind of, again, take a step back and look at it all. The other thing is that dealing with unknown, untested types of things. So for example, you know, and I'll go into the specialty applications type of stuff. Yeah. Right now I'm working with a customer who is working with conductive thread. The conductive thread that is available out on the market right now is something that he's used, but he's got something that he's also found that he wants to try. Now, this is not a twist. It's mm-hmm. it's several fibers next to each other. It's like a roving. So right now I'm testing that with him. He's done a lot of tests himself. He's actually he's shown me some of the stuff that he's done, which has done awesome. So I'm working with him right now to actually like see if we can get our heads together and get something that will work. So a lot of times people will send me things and say, hey, can you do this? And I'll say, I don't know, but we are going to try our best because I want to do it, you know? other things like sewing with, yarn that's not yarn, carbon fiber thread, you know, that's another thing that we're testing right now. So we get all these kind of off the wall types of things. And I think the biggest stumbling block is the frustration, you know, and I have, to me, my resources, I'm so lucky to have these wonderful technicians, my family who's been in the industry forever. You know, I don't know if some of you may know my brother, Nick. He and I go back and forth all the time about, you know, like, okay, how do we approach this? He'll come up with ideas. I'll come up with the ideas. And it's just so cool. So can you imagine family dinners, you know, when six of the seven of us work for the family company. So my sister was a smart one and she, you know, she went off on her own. So, but yeah, I mean, like we're just constantly talking about how we can improve machinery and we do give that feedback to the, to the manufacturer software. A lot of these ideas that stem from not only customers, but also ourselves, will go back to the factory and they will implement those things based on the findings that we find, you know? So that's kind of a really cool thing about what we do and what makes us different, I think, than any, you know, machine that can do, you know, and many machines can do more than just left chest logos, but there's such a depth to this brand that makes for all this fun stuff that I get to do.
Yeah.
So it's like the chief thing we have to do is like manage someone's burnout rate. And then we can deal with like your digitizing's wonky and you're and you need to worry about your thread tension or whatever we can deal with that stuff.
Right.
I mean, I think that's, I've said that forever. Whenever we teach, it's always like, it's 25% of it's self-help or 25% of it is like counseling. It's like, okay, let's get you back in the mood to do this stitch out one more time. And once we get you where you're willing to do that, now we can find what's wrong with your cat frame.
You're never going to get to the point where you know everything. No. I mean, I constantly learn, you know, and it could be something small to something big, you know, it's just every day I'm learning things and it could be just from watching a design stitch and being like, oh, I get that, you know, like that, that's a teaching moment.
Yeah.
And you have to embrace that, you know, embrace, you know, I think you have somebody here that says like, you know, your stumbling blocks are innovation moments. Absolutely. 100%. I'm telling you, you know, I've had several, you know, I am not one to be like, you know, I'm like this magic fairy. You just give me the stuff and I make it happen, you know? So, so for example, I just want to show this real quick because I did put it on a group. This is something that I was working with a customer. This is a 4.5-inch letter. If you look at it from the side, it's three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. What she is trying to achieve is doing this large lettering with the three-dimensional, but without the stitch count, because if we had to do something with several letters at this size, it was going to be like 200,000 stitches, you know? So what we did is we actually came up with this application or this process where there's foam, and then I put a twill material on top. I don't know if it's really hard to see. But
hard
then,
to see in the black, but yeah, there we go, right there.
There you go.
So there's a twill material on top, but then on top of the twill, it's a very open stitch density. So it looks like it's completely filled. If you look at the back, you can see that there's not that many stitches. That's then awesome. On the outline, it is like a complete density for foam. This is two layers of 3 millimeter foam. So there's 6 millimeters right there, the high density from Madeira. And it's less than 11,000 stitches. So that was something that, you know, it's something that I always have thought about.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, let's, you know, this is something finally we get to try because of the things, or, you know, of the requirements. Like the customer did not want applique. The customer did not want the high stitch count, you know, so that you run into these roadblocks with what they want, what they don't want, and what you can do and what you can't do. So we came up with this, and this became a great way to, you know, to fulfill that customer's needs.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's things like that, you know, every day I get something new, you know.
That's fun. Yeah, lots of fun. Yeah. Cool. Well, let's got a couple more questions for you here. So, I know that obviously we can tell you've got a passion for this and love this, and But at the end of the day, I also know that you're very busy because, you know, we have to go to lunch too. So, you know, I don't want to take lunch time. So I'm not trying to create more work for you here. So maybe what kinds of tips can you offer people looking to create their own solutions and kind of solve problems? What's the best thing that they can do on their own?
And what you're gonna... You know, the best thing I think that they can do is, one, gather all the information about a process or an application they're looking at doing. One, gather all that information from the customer, and then think about, you know, think through it critically, think about, you know, take that step back, and then also reach out to those in the industry, you know, reach out to people. There's many wonderful groups out there that are willing to help each other. Maybe somebody's already done what you are looking to do. You know, I mean, there are so many people that I've, you know, at trade shows, they're like, you know, they see the applique process and they're like, oh, your machine can do that. And it's, you know, you just say, well, yes, it can. But also your machine can do that. It's just a process, you know. Yeah. So reach out to those individuals, reach out to industry people, use, you know, what's totally different from, you know, 20 plus years ago is that people used to hold this information close to them. You know, they did not share. What's great about technology, what's great about this is that people are now willing to share. Even if you have to pay for that knowledge, pay for it, because guess what? It's going to benefit you in the long run. You know, if you have to pay for a class on how to learn applique, a class on how to do emblems, a class on how to do puff, do it, you know, because that's only going to make you better. Also, take a close look at your machine, you know, how it works, those types of things, you know, really get into, I call it the micro aspect, like understand what a needle is doing to your thread, or I'm sorry, understand what a needle is doing to your material, what thread does, you know, thread has a twist, there's different weights of thread, there's different types of thread, you know. So understanding these things, you're always learning. Try to, you know, again, that holistic approach, you know.
Yep, I love it.
So
for sure
that's my
that's awesome. Thank you. I'm just geeking out too, because I love how Andrew's putting this stuff, because I think she's got this mindset that I would love all of us to get into. I can see that our people are really enjoying it. Just so you know, it's like Cindy's saying great information. She loves it. We've got everybody talking about the variables. Joanne says, I know there are many variables. She's smiling. I love that. So it's just so cool. Plus that people have seen some of your other demos, which is cool. Like Letty saying, it fascinated me being able to do the electronics, whether it was the lights or the piano, which I know are like your classic samples you guys have in there with conductive touch capacitive stuff. So it's all been super great. So I love that.
Yeah. Wearable technology is one of the coolest things that's coming out. It's been out for a while, but very underground in the sense of it's been more in the testing phases. But wearable technology, for example, like Google and Levi's, they have that Project Jacquard, where it's basically you can do gestures over your jean jacket to answer your phone, to skip a song, to decline a call, you know, whatever it may be. So it's wearable technology is one of the coolest things. Also, we deal with, this is a whole another episode, but we deal with fiber, you know, like carbon fiber. We have a customer that does carbon fiber wheels on an embroidery machine for race cars. You know, so there's just a whole nother segment that we specialize in and help with. And we, you know, we're understanding that depth of, you know, knowledge. Or we have that depth of knowledge to understand all these different things that go into it. So I'm so lucky to be able to be exposed to all of this and then share it with people.
Yeah. And what I'll say is, as Ramona says here, I think we're all lucky to have you as a source for us. Andrew, we need to broadcast you on Andrea TV to all new users and seasoned users too.
Yeah, there you go.
I agree.
So Eric, sure. I love tech. I would definitely wear that jean jacket. you know, I'm not a jean jacket guy typically, but if it had that tech in it, I'm down.
You can go buy one now.
All right.
It's available on Levi's, I think.
All right.
Well, it's only a cool $500.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, if Levi's would like to show that off to people in the decorators community, they can send me one and I would wear it. How about that?
Influencer marketing people.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well,
close us out here, Eric.
I think you also have a five things, if I'm correct. So we will get you there. But before we do that, we always do close out the first segment. Where can people find out more from you?
I mean, we know you're a YouTube star.
YouTube, the ZSK YouTube channel, we all know you can go and see, Andrea, yeah, for sure.
So ZSK Machines is our YouTube channel, zskmachines.com. My email address is just Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A. At zskmachines.com. You can find me at the various trade shows when we do go back.
Yep.
Right now, again, we are experiencing some, you know, our own supply challenges. Although we have heard that we'll be getting a container in here. We have actually a few containers in here pretty soon.
Nice.
But, you know, hopefully, you know, you can always, I don't know, you can always email me. That's kind of where I'm connected most.
There you go.
Facebook, you know. Now, I'll tell you that I'm not great on Facebook, but you can certainly find me as under Andrea Matina Bomarito, under our ZSK Embroidery Technologies and Support Group. And it's not just, you know, you don't have to have a ZSK to go in that group. There's some cool things that you see in there that we help and try to propel people forward, you know, sure, with learning things.
Excellent. All right. Awesome. Cool, Andrea. Well, as Eric said, we'll get you into the five things segment here. So Eric, whenever you're ready, sir.
Yeah, let's get ready for five things. All right. So Andrea, give us your five things.
All right. So five things that, you know, we need to keep in our minds while sampling or figuring out an application for customers is, one, charge for your sampling, especially for something that's uncommon or special application. Your expertise and your time is worth something. You know, whether you charge for it up front or whether you charge for it within the order, you need to charge for it. You know, just as this special application we talked about with the foam, you know, there's time invested and that time takes you away from other things. So charge for it. Number two, at first, if you don't succeed, try again. We talked a little bit about this earlier in that, you know, our frustrations usually get to the best of us. Sometimes what you need to do is you need to, you know, you get frustrated, you criticize yourself, you get tired of it, take a step back, you know, regroup, maybe try to think outside those normal parameters, reach out to people in the industry and see if other people have ideas. There are going to be times where we quote unquote fail. You know, there's going to be times where you have restrictions where you can't do something, but don't let your frustration get to the best of you. Number three, take notes during your testing. Take notes of what works and what doesn't work. You'll start to see that as you get into some testing, you may get really deep into it. And it's like, oh gosh, what did I try? What have I done? You know, and not only that, but also, you know, maybe in the future, those notes will help you with other types of applications. You know, so if you come across something that's similar to the process that you were testing, you can look back at those notes and be like, oh yeah, this is what worked. You know what? Maybe I'll try and apply that. So keep those notes. There's software actually that you can keep notes in, like your digitizing software, that you can say, okay, this test 1, 2, 3, you know, so on and so forth. Number four, so when you actually do that application or process, charge for it. You know, don't charge on your typical stitch count or color numbers or, the run-of-the-mill left chest embroidery types of parameters. Charge on the process. You know, it may be less time, it may be less stitches, you know, but it's a special process. For example, we have customers who do shoes. Not everybody can do shoes because, one, they don't have the frame or machine capability or whatever it may be. Shoe is something specialty. So charge for it. You know, don't sell yourself short, if you will. So special applications definitely offer a higher value, and you don't want to run that value down. You know, then you're just kind of, you know, making it, you're not making it valuable. Number five, congratulate yourself. You know, be proud of your accomplishments and of your failures, because your failures and your accomplishments, you're learning, you're growing, you know, indulge in something to celebrate with, whether it is ice cream, a glass of wine, geeking out with your friends about it, congratulate yourself, pat yourself on the back. You may be disappointed, but guess what? You grew with that. So those are my five things.
Awesome.
Awesome.
There you go.
So good.
Thank you. Congratulations to you, Andrea. Great job. We love celebrating here on the Two Regular Guys. All right. Well, Andrea, thank you so much for your time. It's been awesome talking to you.
Thank you.
I've learned stuff, which, you know, when we get to embroidery, I'm just, for whatever reason, I just have always been dense when it comes to embroidery. So
you would use the word dense. It's like, well, one more dad joke in the middle.
Yeah.
It's just
it turned
different.
Out that way. This different. So I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm actually excited to embroider next week. So there we go. All right, Andrea. Well, thank you so much. And
thank you guys.
We'll be in touch soon. And Sugar Fire, here we come. Bye, Andrea. Awesome. Little inside joke for Andrea and I. There's a barbecue joint here in St. Louis called Sugar Fire that is delicious. So it's been a while since her and I had a chance to go get lunch there. All right, Eric. Well, fantastic stuff from Andrea, as always. Into bonus time, even. You know, shocker that you and I did a show that's bonus time.
Of course.
And then we bring Andrea into the picture, and the depth and wealth of knowledge that she has is incredible, and she's such a humble person too. So just love hanging out with her. All right. Well, let's real quick here. Terry has got some things coming up, and then we'll catch what you've got coming up, and go from there. So Terry, he's got his complete screen printing business course happening at Atlas Screen Supply on August 21st through the 22nd. So if you want to check that out, I was talking to him yesterday before he left on his trip, and he was saying that they've been selling out. So the sooner you can get signed up for that, the better. He will also then, in the Chicago area, will be at the DAX Chicagoland, the Tinley Park event, happening on August 27th. And on that day, from 8:30 to noon, he'll be teaching, Am I Doing This Right? Pro Tips for Screen Printing. I told him I would be popping in and just asking him some random question to see if I was doing it right. But apparently he wants to talk screen printing too. So, he's pretty excited about it because part of the event's going to also be hands-on. The folks over at Atlas are bringing some equipment in for him. So not only do you get to learn from Terry, a longtime veteran screen printer who teaches screen printing classes, you also get to get hands-on with them. So if you want more details about that, you can find it over at terrycombs.com. And Eric, what about you? What's coming up for you?
All right. Well, for me, of course, you know, today I have the take up. So at 2:30 Mountain Time, as we know, that is where I'm from. And no comment about Arizona time since Terry's not here.
That's right.
He doesn't get to take over with his Arizona version of Mountain Time. We're going to be talking about kind of another Q&A episode. Every once in a while, you guys know that I do these Q&A episodes where we get to kind of discuss stuff that people have asked me throughout the week. And this one is drawing from machine embroidery, missing letters, and more. So these are actually questions people came up with both at the DAC show. So some things about my elevating embroidery digitizing class. So some questions there, and some that just came in the last couple of weeks. So I'm doing kind of a cleanup. What that also means, though, is I'm fully expecting the reciprocators to show up and ask their live questions. So 2:30 Mountain Time, check it out today. As you guys also know, my Understanding Emlyns class, the patch class that I did with the Decorators community, is now available as a recording. So you can check that out at decorators.education/emblems. And everybody who's asked about that, that is still available as a recording. If you purchase it now, you can watch the entire 4 hours. And as I've been told repeatedly, the entire saga of how to do patches is there. And then have to say, had a great class at DAX Chicago, or at DAX for KC, but now we're going into Minnesota and Chicagoland. So if you guys have not seen it before, you can get out to Treasure Island. You can get out to Tinley Park. I will be teaching again, Elevate Your Embroidery Digitizing. So that's one very similar to some of my other courses that people had wanted to come back. So doing all that again, go check that out at daxshow.com. And I'll also be appearing at Impressions Expo Fort Worth, teaching specialty thread, design, digitizing, and marketing, and appearing on the Madeira USA's panel, Elements of Excellent Embroidery. So that's the kind of the end of my cycle. So check that out as well if you want to see me teaching live.
There you go. Busy, busy guy. I love it. Now everything's kind of compact at the end of the year here. So
more and more.
Keeping busy. Nice. All right. For me, real quick, Eric.
Yes.
We just launched, kind of introduced it at DAX Kansas City, and did a live about it yesterday. Our brand new 5 keys of growing your and launching your business online training module program. Super excited about this because it gives businesses the foundation that they need to be able to price their products for profit, know their overhead, build a workflow and process, have a customer service plan, as well as a good marketing foundation. All too often, people's marketing is the spray and pray method, right? and we want to give you a foundation of, if you know who your ideal customer is, and we're going to help you find that, once you know who your ideal customer is, marketing becomes a lot easier and a lot cheaper because you're getting in front of the right people. So looking forward to getting more feedback and hearing from people. We've had people go through this already, and it's really drastically changed their business. So if you want to check that out, it's oursuccessgroup.com/5keys. We've got an introductory price going on right now. We decided, you know what, we're going to have this introductory price all the way through the DAX show season. So it's good until August 31st. But as I mentioned yesterday in the video, if you saw that, the sense of urgency, we didn't feel like we needed to manufacture some sense of urgency, because the sense of urgency is the sooner you get this implemented in your business, the sooner you're going to get to your idea of success. So, nice. Really, really great stuff, I believe, coming from that. And Kathleen, I see your question there. I'll jump in and answer it. Or if Todd, if you're still hanging around, maybe you could jump in on Kathleen's question there. So good question for sure. I'll get into the comments and check that, get with you on that. All right. And then also, I've been mentioning that I will be embroidering coming up next week. And that's what I'm told. So I'm actually pretty excited about that. As much as I hate needles, this I don't feel like they'll be touching me in any way. So we'll be good.
Keep your hands out of the hoop. You'll be
that's
fine.
Right. I've been warned. I have all the proper knowledge now, thanks to Eric and Andrea, and I'll be in very good hands with Lisa and Christine, Lisa Shaw. Absolutely. And Christine Shreve. So I will be at Applique Getaway, and that's happening July 23rd through the 25th. I'm teaching a couple classes there. So on the 23rd, I'm talking about going from hobby to business, the 5 keys to success. On Saturday, the 24th, I will be teaching Conquering Fear and Living to Tell About It. More of a mindset thing, but really, I think, helpful for business owners, because as a small business owner, we've got to do a lot of things that are outside of our comfort zone. And so I've got a system that I've learned through my work with the Success Principles for taking our fears and turning them into success. So check that out. You go to appliquegetaway.com for more information. It's an in-person event as well as a live event. So check it out. I'm really excited to get out there and see it. This will be my first time there, and I've heard wonderful things about it.
And then finally, got a little FOMO for that one.
Yeah, there you go.
Got some FOMO on that
one. Yeah, yeah. Well, sure. I'll try to video and take pictures and pretend like you're there with me, Eric. How about that?
I'll send the cardboard cutout.
There you go. I like it. All right. Well, coming up in 10 minutes, Eric, we got 10 minutes. Wow. You can catch the half with Eric and I. It's the only time in our lives, I believe, that we'll be on time. So true. It is 30 minutes of Q&A. And we have no script, no preconceived what we're going to do. We show up, you guys ask questions, we answer them, we interact, we engage, we have a blast. It's a chance just to say hi for 30 minutes and really enjoy getting to talk to the community. So please come over and check that out. You can find that at Live OSG, which takes you to the Our Success Group YouTube page. Or if you're over there on YouTube, you search for Eric Campbell and you can find Eric there. Or if you're a Facebook person that wants to catch it on Facebook, we're happy to have you there too. Facebook.com/Our Success Group Pro. Or again, find Eric, E-R-I-C-H. What's that?
Anywhere I am, you'll find that.
Yep. Anywhere Aaron's at, Eric's there too. So, and with Eric's awesome name, easy to find him. E-R-I-C-H Campbell, and you will find him. So that's coming up in, 10 minutes now, Eric. So I think that'll do it. We
probably have to finish one show before we get to the next one.
Yeah, we should. We should probably, give ourselves a chance to take a restroom break and all that kind of stuff. So, from there, we want to thank Andrea so much for her time. Really appreciate her being there. And it's been great talking to her. And yes, wealth of information. Having you two together makes it even better because just that opportunity to bounce things off each other is totally cool. I felt like we got to be part of that phone conversation you guys have all the time, right?
It was hard not to just bust into that, admittedly. It was hard not to just get into our chats because that we do have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. So great stuff there. So thanks so much to Andrea for being here. And Eric, thanks so much to you for producing and hosting all at the same time.
Well, sometimes we push the same button at the same time, but you and I get our eye on our right.
We get there. We get there.
All right. Well, until then, I'm Eric Campbell sitting in for Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the two regular guys.
Here we go. We're out.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.